Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading from the Gospel of Matthew takes place during the last week of Jesus' life. Just the last week before his crucifixion. We are at the busy Jerusalem temple. The great feast approaches. And a high-profile religious confrontation is taking place. Jesus has entered the city amidst shouts of Hosanna, and the throngs have hailed him as the Son of David. And now the religious leaders lock horns with Jesus, challenging his authority, attempting to trap him in his words, interrogating him with loaded questions. The full panoply of experts and officials are involved, the chief priests, the elders of the people, the Pharisees and the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians with them, the Sadducees, and now in this text, an expert in the law along with the Pharisees. And the crowds, they listen in, wondering who in this great mess speaks for true religion. On one level, this reading is a text of religious turmoil, religious debate, religious accusations, religious claims, religious divisions, religious parties, religious tensions, religious animosities, religious uncertainty. And for those who have known personally the pain of religious divisions, for the parent who has known the deep ache of seeing a child wander from the faith or embrace a different confession, for a young man who has fallen in love with a girl, only to find eventually that they cannot be married because of different religious convictions. For the college student, disoriented by the endless attacks on her faith, both subtle and not so subtle, from professors in the classroom. For those who have seen thick black smoke rising up over religiously inspired bombings, or those who have seen their lands ravaged by religious wars, or even for those who have grown weary of their own combativeness or of witnessing the combative edge of so much religious conversation around them, particularly on the internet and on Facebook. For all those who have known these pains, the confrontations here in Matthew's gospel might at first bring a sour taste, might at first look like the same old, same old. And yet in the middle of all of this stands a figure to whom Matthew and the Holy Spirit would point us in this text. In this singular figure, the man Jesus Christ, God himself comes to his people bestowing a religion so clear, so pure, so beautiful, so all-encompassing, expansive, and enduring, so public and open and given to all. Here in this man, Jesus Christ, the bright light of true religion and of true hope shines forth. And what does this true religion of Jesus Christ look like? Reflecting on our text this morning, I'd like to make three brief observations. First, in the true religion of Jesus Christ, man is answerable to God, not God to man. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, he refused to put the Lord his God to the test. Not so the Pharisees. They don't hold back. With burning indignation, they let loose their questions. They test the Son of the living God, subjecting him to public scrutiny and trial. Yet at the culmination of our text, the Pharisees find that the tables are turned, and it is Jesus who is posing the questions, and they themselves are put to silence. In Jesus Christ, God has come to speak definitively to all men. God himself has come to silence the endless dispute and the rebellious challenge of every human heart, including yours and mine. In the true religion of Jesus, man is answerable to God, not God to man. Second, in the true religion of Jesus, love has finally come among men, the love that God intended from the beginning. What a blessing it is to be silenced by Jesus, if in that silencing we have opportunity to hear and to see Jesus. What a precious gift Jesus offers to the Pharisees here in this text when he speaks of love. What is the great commandment, they ask him? And Jesus replies, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." These commands are not new, ancient, Mosaic commands, but how different they become when it is this mouth, Jesus' mouth, which is speaking these words. When the Pharisees speak of love, they speak as those who cannot and do not. They speak as men who tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. But Jesus, only Jesus speaks these beautiful words, this beautiful will and command of God, as one who can and did. He speaks as one who would bear this heavy burden, hard to bear, the burden of our lovelessness on the cross. He speaks as the one who will give his spirit and pour out his love into men's hearts. He speaks as the one who will one day resurrect and transform your heart to be like his own and plant you in resurrection world forever, where love will truly and finally prevail. In the true religion of Jesus, love has finally come among men. And third, in the true religion of Jesus, there is a Christ who is more than the Son of David. It would have been a great work of God to raise up another David, a strong and pious king who would deliver his people, reclaim their dignity, restore the rights of Judah. But standing here in the temple courts in this text is a son of David who is also the Son of the living God. What an amazing confession we have been given to hold to and to rejoice in. In Jesus, God himself has come to reign in the midst of his people. And when Jesus comes again, all of the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. "What do you think about the Christ?" Jesus asks. "Whose son is he?" "You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the Father." One day, all religious strife and contention will finally cease. Every mouth will be silenced. And then, all redeemed humanity in perfect harmony and mutual love with all our heart, soul, and mind will begin the song that will never end, the ceaseless song of praise to our God and to the Christ who has won all this for us. In that confidence, let us stand and sing the Te Deum.